would love to retire right now. Be honest with you. I mean, how many of y'all want to go to retire right now? I'm not talking about die. I'm talking about to be able to, because retirement is about resting from labor, right? You work 30 years on a job, right? And then you do what? You retire, and hopefully you got this big fat pension, right? And you sitting there, and you just chilling. You ain't stopped living, but you ain't got no worries no more, because that pension takes care of everything that's needed. You don't have to worry about money no more. You don't have to worry about anything no more. No insurance no more. You know, just, you ready to just, huh? I ain't gonna say that on tape, but but we work hard for retirement. That's what 401k is about, right? That's what pension plans is about. That's what Social Security plan is about. That's what presidential campaign is about. We're trying to make sure that when you get old, you're gonna retire. I remember when I was in the military, one of the things they always put before us, after 20 years you can retire and you have a pension in the military. You get a check every month. It don't matter what you do, you get a check every month. Y'all want that kind of life? How old are you, bro? 18. How would you like to retire right now at 18 years old? How would you like to retire right now? It'd be nice, right? You have everything set. Your life set, right? How about you? Jack, would you like to retire right now? And just rest from all your labor, all your work. What about you, Ryan? Be nice, right? But how many of you know that God has a plan that says he will allow you to retire? He says, if you become a believer, now, that's the first qualification, you got to become a believer. But for the believer, God has a retirement plan for you right now. It's true. He says, this is my plan, and today I want to roll out part one to this plan called retirement. Jesus called it rest. The Bible calls it rest from all your labor. When God made the world, he was working for the first 6 days, wasn't he? Made this, made that, did this. He said, on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. He says, it's finished, I'm done, I'm finished, I ain't working no more. God has that same plan for you and I. He invites us to come in and retire. He invites us to come in and rest. I take care, everything's taken care of. Just rest. Amen. So the message titled, The Prophetic and Entering God's Rest. The prophetic and entering God's rest. I'm going to show you there is a link between the prophetic, God speaking, and you entering into his rest. God speaking, you believing, and you enter into his rest. Because the world today, I think someone mentioned the word grind. They want you to get it. I mean, it's like get it, right? It's like get it. You work flipping burgers, they be like, I want you to do faster, better. And I want you to do the work of 3 and 4 people. They want you to get it. I know my wife, she just came from, 4 cities in 3 days? 4 cities, 3 days? 3 cities in 4 days. Something like that. She was gone to all different kind of cities. And she said, I'm just tired. She was telling me on the phone, I'm just tired. Even before she left, she said, I'm just tired before I even just looking at my itinerary. I have to go to this city, do this, do that. It's work constantly going and going and going and going and going, trying to get it, trying to make a living, trying to make sure that you survive. That's why we do it, right? So we can, if it wasn't about survival, we wouldn't do it. But God says, I have another plan. If you'll work my plan, you come into this plan of mine, it's better than 401k, it's better than Social Security, and it's for my people. Now, I'm not talking theory. I'm talking from experience to. If we would only hear his voice, believe what he's saying, and have enough courage to do exactly what he said, no more, no less. No more, no less. No more, no less. We will walk in his plan, and we'll be at peace. We'll be at rest. Now, retirement doesn't mean that you don't work. Let me say, retirement doesn't mean that you don't live. That you just, you know, like, you like them old ladies, the old people on the porch, can't move, can't do nothing. Ain't talking about that. When you retire, I'm talking about, when you talk about retirement, we think about retirement, you get ready to enjoy life. The things you do it because you enjoy doing them. You travel not because we're trying to go and make money, but we travel because we want to have fun. Isn't that right, Jack? You just want to go and just hang out and really have a good time and really enjoy life. God says he wants us to enjoy life. Amen. Y'all with me? Are you with me? Y'all receiving this? Because I just spirit's got to be open to receive this, okay? So I'm going to read a scripture from Matthew chapter 11. It's in your notes. Everybody should have a handout. In your notes, Matthew chapter 11, verse, from the TV version, verse 28 to 30.
Come to me, all of you who are tired and carry heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light.
Does that sound like retirement to you? Does that sound like retirement to you? He just said, all you got is heavy load trying to make it, trying to pay for a cell phone, trying to pay for clothes, trying to pay for school, trying to pay for this, trying to live. He said, no, come to me. And he said, the first thing he says he's going to do when he come to him, he says, take my yoke and put it. Then he says from us to do what? Learn of me. That's what he said, right? He said, there's something that we need to know about Jesus. Something that we need to know about the word of God that will cause us to find rest. And it's amazing that too many Christians are just going, getting it, and they don't know why they're just struggling. They don't know why they're going through. Yes, they're still saved. That has nothing to do with that. But the issue is, are you resting? Have you retired from laboring? Have you retired from the heavy going and getting it? That's the question. He said, learn of me because I am gentle, I'm humble in spirit, and you will find rest. He says, for the yoke I will give you is easy. In other words, what he's going to give you is something light to do. It ain't going to be hard. It's going to be real simple. It's going to be something you ain't got to struggle to do. It's just going to be very simple. You just do that. How many of you know God never asked us to do anything that's too hard for us to do? I'm talking about just physically too hard. How hard is it to believe? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave us the only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? How hard is it for you to believe? Is that something as a strong load they have to do? No, it's not hard. You just have to make up your mind that you're going to believe and not doubt. It's not that hard. But too many Christians try to work their way into heaven. That's religion. Religion says, I need to work my way into heaven. And God says, that's not even my way. I'm going to give you something easy to do. I'm just going to ask you to have faith and believe, and I'll get you there. And everything in the kingdom operates on that same principle. It operates. God tells us to do something that we can do. We just have to believe. Last week we talked about Joshua, and God told Joshua that he had to obey all the things of Moses and be careful to be bold and courageous, right? And he tells us, now we have Jesus. Jesus is our Joshua, and we have to obey everything Jesus tells us. In order to do that, we're going to have to be bold and courageous. Why? Because what God asks us to do, it seems simple, but we don't believe it will solve the problem. That's our problem. We look at it and says, it can't be that easy. It cannot be that simple. It cannot be like that. It has to be more to that, because everybody else is at the grind. Everybody else is working hard trying to make a dollar. But God said, I ain't trying to make, that's not my life. I'm trying to get you as a believer into another life, but too many people, because they do not believe, they cannot enter in. And so they just work and work and stress and beat themselves up for what? And that's not God's plan. And actually, it angers God. He's trying to give us something, and we still won't believe him. We say, in essence, we're telling God, you're a liar. You say this is that easy? I don't believe it. Is that what you say? Is that what you're telling me? That you don't believe? If God says, all you got to do is one simple thing, you say, I don't believe it. But you said, that person is lying, right? And that's what we tell God. And God, he said, that angers him, because he says, you're telling me I can't do what I said I can do. You're telling me that I'm not good for my word. You're telling me that I can't retire you at the age of 18. That's what you're telling him. And God says, it's just that easy, but you don't believe me. Repeat after me. I believe in God. I don't have to understand. I just need to believe. He will do it. See, God's ways are not our ways, and the way God goes, our understanding doesn't even match up. You're talking about renewing of the mind? That's why our mind needs to be changed. Well, our minds to be changed to say, well, God knows, and I believe God. So your mind to change, not a work-type mentality, but we have to have a faith-type mentality. Amen? So I want to give you a foundational definition right quick about rest. This is what the rest, it's in your notes. It says rest is to stop striving to achieve something. Y'all see that? I took this out of dictionary. Actually, that word rest, I took it out of the Vine Dictionary, which is talking about what it meant in the Greek. It means to stop striving. It means to stop striving. What does it mean to strive? Anybody. What does it mean to strive? Can anybody tell me what striving means? Say it again?
To work for something.
To work for something. Who else said what striving is? Say it.
Go after something.
To go after something. Anybody else? What does it mean to strive? To work towards a goal. All those are good definitions of what it means to strive. It means to put forth energy. It means to struggle to make it happen. A lot of people, a lot of Christian people, they love God. They struggle to make it happen. They struggle to stop sinning. They struggle to try to kick the habit. Well, maybe if I try harder next time. God's saying, why you keep? That's against the principle of grace. Grace means that God does it for you, but you want to try to do it for yourself. And we never rest because we're constantly grabbing. I meet so many professional people. The only reason why they go to school is so they can have a good life. Am I right? I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why people go, a lot of athletes, they go through a lot of stuff. Coaches cussing them out, hot 3 days, in the gym, can't, you know, all this other stuff, trying to make happen so they can make more money to live a better life. And God says, Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundant. Do it my way, and you won't have, it says, so if you that are carrying all that, are tired and carrying that heavy load, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. I'm to stop striving to achieve something. It also means to cease effort to do something. It means to cease from your own effort. Y'all following me? Or y'all just tired? That's right. Y'all getting something yet? He's telling us to rest. Now, I'm going to take the last few times, last few moments, I'm going to deal with four principles today of entering into God's rest. Four principles to entering God's rest. Four principles to entering God's rest. Four principles to entering God's rest. And I'm going to give you some scriptural background concerning that. Hebrews, Paul deals with this rest. Apostle Paul deals with this rest. And I'm going to weave it in with some testimonies to let you know that God really has a rest for you. He tells us not to worry, not to toil. He tells us that his yoke is easy. What he wants us to do is light. It's not nothing heavy. Enjoy life. Amen. So let's look at the foundation principle number one. God's rest is available to us now if we believe. It's available to us right now. I know we heard songs that says, oh, in the sweet by and by will we pass on and go to heaven. But the word of scripture tells us that it's available to us today. It's available to you, Terrell. It's available to you, Jackie. It's available to you, Ryan and Jonathan. It's available to you, Tariq. It's available to all of us. But it's only available to those who believe. See, we can't wrap our minds around that. We just can't wrap our minds around that. We says we have, because we live in a society that says you got to make it happen. You got to go get it. You got to take control and you got to go make this thing happen. And God's saying, that's not my way. That's not my way. That's principle number one is God's rest is available to us now if we believe. Now, I want to read a scripture. It's going to be from Hebrews chapter 4. Mostly it's going to be from Hebrews chapter 4 and chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 through 11. I'm reading from the New Century Version. Look what God had to say through the Apostle Paul to the believers, the Hebrew believers, and that's to us as well.
It is still true that some people will enter God's rest, but those who first heard the way to be saved did not enter because they did not obey. So God planned another day called today. He spoke about the day through David a long time later in the same scripture used before. Today, listen to what he says. Do not be stubborn. We know that Joshua did not lead the people into rest because God spoke later about another day. This shows that rest for God's people is still coming. Anyone who enters rest will rest from his work as God did. Let us try as hard as we can to enter God's rest so that no one will fail by the following the example of those who refuse to obey.
Amen. Those that refuse to obey because they did not believe. They did not believe. But when did he say that? When did he say that that day was that another day? When what was going to be? What was called? It's today. It's now. It's now. Right now, God has made this available to you. He has made this available to me. He's saying, right now, you can retire from struggling and striving, trying to make it happen. Today. But a lot of people don't believe that because we have been brought up, we have been taught that you got to go get it. You got to make it happen. You're going to have to go and get a better education. You got to go and do this and do that and do this and do that. And God is saying, all that stuff don't matter. What matters is what I say. The day that you hear my voice, he said, don't be stubborn or in other words, don't harden your heart. Don't allow yourself to say, I don't believe, because that's too good to be true. I believe a lot of people allow society and what other people go through to negate what God is saying. In fact, there's a scripture, I think it's Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Are y'all following me? Y'all good? Am I talking Shawnee? I think chapter 7, verse 13. Cancel word. Okay. Who has that? Chapter 7, verse 13. Anybody got Mark chapter 7, verse 7 through 13? What does it say?
Thus you notify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that.
Okay. In this way, he's saying, so you do what? You nullify the word of God, right? God speaks, we cancel it. You know how we cancel it? You know how we cancel it? He said, by our tradition. You know what tradition means? It means what? The way things were done before, right? Whatever was done before, we cancel out what God says because mama and them didn't do it that way. Daddy and them didn't do it that way. That truth couldn't, grandmama didn't do it, granddad didn't do it that way. And everybody else is doing it this traditional way. And God's saying, I want you to go another way. I'm trying to give you rest. But we say, no, I'm going to cancel that word because I don't believe that, because no one else ain't going that way. We go to the advisors. They tell us, no, that don't work that way. Right? But God speaks. He said, we cancel, we nullify, we bring to nothing. We don't even allow the power of God by his word to work in our lives because we rejected it because of our tradition. Because our ways. That's the way we do it. But God says, I have another way that's not your way. I have thoughts and I have things I want to say to you that are not your thoughts and not the things that you've heard before. He says, I need you to open up yourself and receive what I have to say. And when we receive what he has to say, it will cause what he promised to happen. That's what he said. That's what he was telling them. He says he was trying to show them, these people that was in the desert with Joshua, he was trying to show them, I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey, but they did not believe. Even after they got to the promised land, got ready to go over, they said, oh, there's giants over there. Yeah, the land has a lot of stuff, but there's no way we can beat. We like grasshoppers in there. There's no way we're going to defeat them. And God got angry and says, fine, you'll go back in the desert for 40 years. I'm going to see all of y'all die because y'all are not going to enter into my rest, what I had planned for you. Because of their unbelief, they rebelled against God. They rejected the word of God. Amen? How many of y'all know that God still speaks? He still speaks. Religion will tell you God doesn't speak no more. As long as we got a Bible, God doesn't speak no more. That's not true. That is a falsehood. That is a lie. God still speaks. He said the Bible still says he speaks. So if anybody tells you, oh, we have the Bible now, we don't have to hear God. That is a lie. We have to still hear God. In the Acts, in the New Testament, they heard God. And they said, well, they didn't have the Bible. Yes, they did. They had the Old Testament. The New Testament had not been written yet because they were living. They recorded. Now we have the New Testament here. But God was still speaking. He spoke in the old days just like he's speaking in the new days, in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, he spoke to Abraham. In the Old Testament, he spoke to David. In the Old Testament, he spoke to the prophets. In the New Testament, he spoke to the apostles and all, and believers. He's still speaking today. He hasn't stopped. And he says, if you won't allow tradition to nullify or to cancel out what he said or cause you to rebel against what he's saying, he says you can walk in what he said. Amen. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's trying to get over to us, that he wants us to walk in a level of rest like he did. He says, I rested from all my work. He stopped working and started enjoying what he had. He started enjoying what he had created. He wants us to stop working. He ain't talking about being lazy. He says, stop trying to strive to get stuff and get a life and get somewhere. Some of us, we have the promises of God, but we're still trying to work to get the promises. He goes, it ain't going to work that way. That's what people come to church for, because they're trying to get the promises of God. God said, don't work that way. Amen? So, y'all get, if you get some, say amen. Just wanna, is it too hot in here or what? So my second principle is, the first principle is that God's rest is available to us now. Not when we get to heaven. It's available to us now. The Apostle Paul said it. The Bible says it. According to written what Apostle Paul, God said it. God agrees with the Bible. It's available to us now. Let's repeat that. God's rest is available to us now. Say that again. God's rest is available to us now. How many of y'all believe that? If we walk in this, I'm telling you. God says if we walk in this, we don't have to have a whole bunch of them. We will surprise a whole lot of people. We'll surprise a whole lot of people. If we just walk in, but it's us. It will change our community. It will change people who know us. Because they'll see something. They're working hard. And they're going like, well, how is he doing this? And we struggling trying to make this happen. We burning our life up trying to do this. And God said, no, I got another plan. And they're going to ask you what your plan is, because it's the way of the kingdom. Amen? Number two, hearing the voice of God is foundational to entering God's rest. Hearing the voice of God. It's foundation. Because you can't obey God if you don't know what he said. Well, some people say, well, I got scripture. I go and find a scripture and verse. God got something to say to you personally. This book is about mankind. It prophesies about history. It talks about God. It talks about the history of man. It talks about the devil. It talks about a lot of stuff. But God's interested in your life. What's going on in your life? He knows the path you take. Because you didn't start from the same place I started. We all started from a different place in life. Everybody didn't have the same opportunities in life. Some people in the world were born rich, and some people were born poor. And God has a different path because we have a different point of reference in life. And because it's a different point of reference in life, we need a personal plan from God. We need to hear what God is saying to us so we'll know which way to go. Amen? Because not everybody's facing the same challenges. Not everybody is in the same situation. And that's why we need to hear a word from the Lord. We need to know where we need to live. We need to know what we need to do. We need to know who to marry. We need to know what we need to, how we need to, what school to go to, how to do what we need to do. We need to know these things. Because there's nothing in this Bible that says who to marry. It doesn't. It's not, it just tell you general principles, but it don't tell you which person. Because if you look at it, a lot of people meet the criteria. Well, they're a believer, they're a Christian, so I guess I can marry. He says, I have a plan. I have a plan for you. I established a long time ago. I want you to walk in it, because this plan is going to make you walk in the promises that God has for you. The land of milk and honey. Amen. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 from the NLT, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7.
So God's rest is there for the people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time and entered his rest. And that time is today. God announced this through David much later in words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts.
Amen. So he's telling us what? The rest is tied to what? Hearing, right? He says, when you hear his voice, he says, the rest is available for you today. But today, when you hear his voice, today, when you hear his voice, don't refuse. Don't harden it. Don't say, that don't make sense. People gonna look at me crazy if I go that way. People look me, that doesn't make sense to me, and that doesn't make sense to the people. And I don't want to, a lot of people got pride. I don't want to do it because that makes me look like I'm so different. How many of you know, if you want something different from everybody else, you're gonna have to do something different than everybody else. Amen. You can't do what everybody else do. Are you gonna get the same thing everybody else get? But God said, I want you to have something different. I'm gonna show you a life that is a life of rest, a life of retirement, not a life of inactivity, but a life of retirement. And that life is what we do in that life is for our enjoyment. We do it because we love God. We do it because we worship God. We give because we love God. We want to see the things of God. We give. When you go in retirement, you still may help some people out. Amen. You still ain't like you stingy now. No, when you go in retirement, you know, you still go and go vacation. And you still, when you go on vacation, you still tip the person. In fact, if you don't retire real good, you should tip the person big, right? Because you balling now. That's how it is. When you go and you serve Donald Trump, he come to the table and you serve him well, he gonna give you some money. You know what I mean? That's how it is. That's how we walk. We're people of grace. We're people of generosity. And we do these things not because we're trying to get, but we're doing it because we're good people. We're generous people. We're actually, I use this term, we're spiritual ballers. We're spiritual ballers. We got it going on. So we give because we enjoy life. Not trying to scrap and trying to make it. But we're trying to enjoy life. When we serve others, we're just trying to help people because we're in a position to help people. Amen? So he's telling us here, he said God announced this through David much later than the people of Israel in Joshua's day. We know that, right? Because David came a long time after that. David was born a long time after Joshua. Joshua people did not enter into the rest. Now let me say this, because some of us might say this seems like too good to be true. Did you know that when the children of Israel obeyed God, they didn't have to struggle? They went to Jericho. Who remember the story of Jericho? Remember the story of Jericho? What was God command to them? He marched around it for the first 6 days, marched around it one time. It was easy, right? All they had to do was walk and not say nothing. Just walk and go back to the camp. On the seventh day, he said, something easy again. Walk around it how many times? Seven times, right? And in the walking seven times, he said, after they blow the trumpets, do what? Just yell. That's something they could have done, right? That's not a struggle. That was easy, right? That was an easy task. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Learn of me. Learn my way. I'm going to speak. I told you what to do. Just do it. And when they did it, what happened? The walls came tumbling down. They went in and took all their gold. All this stuff. Why? God gave it to them without any struggle. Is that true? Throughout the Bible, it's been that way. Remember Gideon? Gideon had all those armies going to go there and fight the Midianites. That's Gideon. Remember, he fleeced God and let the thing be wet this time, the ground be dry, then dry the ground. And this is basically he's trying to test God. And God said, okay, what happened? When he said that, God told him, he said, okay, take your army down here. He took, I don't know how many, it was thousands of people, but the army they was going against was thousands, more than that. He told him, take it down to how many people? 300. 300 soldiers. He said, I want you to take, you got too many people. He's willing to him, get rid of some people, get rid of some people. Got 300 people against thousands. That doesn't make sense, does it? But it was the word of the Lord to him. The word of the Lord came. He didn't refuse and say, Lord, I can't do this, man. I'll get slaughtered out here. Because that doesn't make sense. They'll kill us. He didn't say that. He trusted God. He believed God. He took those 300, went down there. And you know how they defeated them? You know how they defeated them? They didn't even fight. You know what they did? They took jars. Glass jars. He told them, they take glass jars, make a noise, and break the jars. When they broke the jars, 300 people sent thousands of their enemies scattered. They went in and took all their stuff. And they became rich. Overnight. The word of the Lord came. Didn't make sense. He didn't rebel. He believed and just followed God, and God gave him the victory. That's throughout the Old Testament. That's throughout the Old Testament, even into the New. God just asked us, when I speak, believe. Don't do no more. Don't do no less. And you will conquer. And you will be at rest. It's not going to be a struggle. It's going to be easy. Amen. So the first thing is that God's rest is available to us now if we believe. Number two, hearing the voice of God is foundational to entering God's rest. Point number three is this. We must believe what we hear the Holy Spirit say. Hear the Holy Spirit say. We must believe what he said. We have to choose to believe. It may conflict with what we think. It may conflict with what we feel. But we choose to believe. When we do that, that's we're putting our faith in God. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you how I deal with that. You know, you just have to just like, you know, I'm the kind of person that say, okay, forget it all. God, I live. For God, I die. I'm just going to do it. You know, that's how I do it. When starting this ministry, it was like that. You're talking about leave your career, leave your job, go into ministry. You got family, you got child, you got a house, you got all this stuff. All of you still got house payments. You still got stuff going on you got to pay for. I'm sitting there and God is saying, leave this and go do this. And I'm going like, that doesn't make sense. I'm talking to people and they say, I'm talking tradition. I'm talking to my mom and my dad. They be like, that don't make sense. That doesn't make sense to me. That's craziness. That's ludicrous. Are you sure? But God was speaking. I chose to believe. And in order to do it, I had to deny myself. I deny what I thought, deny what I felt. And I just had, because I was a little afraid. I'm going to tell you, I'm be honest with you, I was a little afraid. I was afraid to face my wife if I failed. I'm serious. I was afraid. But you know what? I'm ex-athlete. Well, I'm still an athlete, but I'm ex-player. And I just told myself, God, live. God, I'm just going to do this. You know what I'm saying? And I went out and did it. And you know what? God showed up and changed the whole situation around. And my wife can tell you, before that, when we were both striving, trying to make it work, you remember that, babe? You remember that, how it was, Jay? Who gonna get Ryan today? Where are you? You remember that? Where are you? I don't know. I said, how far are you away from him? Because, you know, we're trying to get there to get him out of school, to pick him out of daycare so he won't run over time, because we're still at work trying to make stuff work, make stuff happen. But when we stepped into the plan of God, this is what happened. Immediately, we went to rest. Didn't we? Didn't we go to rest? Okay. Now, the way God wanted us to do it was totally different. He told me to go into ministry. He told her she wanted to continue to work. She continued. But she had no longer had to worry about who was going to take care of Ryan when he was, if he had to come home, or if he was sick, or if he had a day off from school, or he needed to do whatever, something needed to be done at school. Didn't that happen? He didn't have to worry about what he was going to eat and whether we were going to have enough time to make sure he had what he needed. Things went to rest. She was able to focus on her job, what she needed to do. If she had to run over a meeting, had to run over, or she had to do something, or had to travel, she didn't have to worry about that. She didn't have to worry about it, because sometimes I would be traveling, sometimes she had to travel. We had to try to figure out how we're going to do this. I mean, that's stressful. Struggling, striving, trying to make things work. I had lunch with Ryan. I actually had dinner with Ryan about a few months ago. No, about a few weeks ago. I asked Ryan a question. I said, Ryan, what do you like about living in our family? I said, what do you like about me as a dad? And it was a kind of interesting statement he made to me. He said, Dad, he said, what I like most is that you're home. You're at home every he says that you're home when I get home. And I have something to eat, and there's always somebody at home. A lot of times we think that's small, but that's big for a child to come home, even if he's 14, 15, 13, and ain't nobody home but him and the dog. Nobody's there. That's rough. Oh, we come home, we all doing work, and maybe we're still working because we're trying to get stuff done at work. But he said that meant something to him. So his life went to a rest. I was able to focus on ministry and not trying to work and do ministry. She was able to focus on what she does at work, and she don't have to worry about it. She can do what she needs to do. And God bless. Financially, when we walked into this, God provided. Supernatural. Am I right about that, man? Huh? They're going to tell me to keep going. My point is this. We must believe. He didn't ask us to understand. He asked us to believe when he speaks. Don't harden our hearts in unbelief, but actually believe. And we have to be a little bit bold. We have to be bold, and we have to be courageous. Say, for God I live. That's my saying. For God I live. For God. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die trusting God. If I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail trusting God. But I found out God has never allowed me to fail. We constantly move forward. Amen? And we're at rest. I'm looking for the day where my wife is. She always says, she told me a long time ago, she said, I ain't working in no ministry. I ain't working for you. She told me that a long time ago. Remember that? You still say that, babe? Are you changing? Got it? Got changing it out for you? You gonna change it soon? She always said, she's still there because she had a mindset in her mind, I ain't working for you. But when God calls her out, he has to do some renewing of the mind. That'll change. I know it will. I know it will. God says it will, so I'm just going to wait for him to do the change, do the exchange. Amen. So, we have to believe. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. I'm almost done. 16 through 19 from the New Century Version.
Who heard God's voice and was against him? It was all those people Moses led out of Egypt. And with whom was God angry for 40 years? He was angry with those who sinned, who died in the desert, and to whom God talking, then he promised that they would never enter his rest. He was talking to those who did not obey him. See, we see they are not allowed to enter and have God's rest because they did not believe.
They didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe that God was going to do for them. They thought they were going to die. They thought that if they went into the promised land, the giants was going to kill them. They thought that God wasn't big enough to do what he said he was going to do. He says, because they didn't. The Bible says what? God got angry, didn't he? He got angry. And he says, they will, he made a promise. They will never enter into my rest. And the reason they didn't enter into his rest is because they didn't do what? They didn't believe. Their disobedience was because of their unbelief. They didn't want to go because they didn't believe that God could do what he said he could do. Am I helping anybody? So? God wants us to retire early. He wants us to retire, not the government system of retirement. He has a plan that we can retire at young ages and walk in what he's saying and live a way that the world's been striving to live in. My 4 points, someone says now, foundational, believe. My last point, and I'm done, is this. We enter God's rest by hearing, believing, and obeying exactly what God says. We enter God's rest by hearing, believing, and obeying exactly what God says. We enter God's rest by hearing what he had to say, right? Believing what he had to say, and then following and doing what he said. Jesus said what? I'm going to teach you. That word teach means, we read in our foundational scripture, he says, I'm going to teach you. He said, you will learn. What he says, you will learn from me. In other words, he's teaching you something, right? He says, I'm going to learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. I will give you, he says, for the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light. In other words, God's saying he's going to give you something simple to do. All we have to do is believe. Now hear what he's saying. Believe what he said and do exactly what he said. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just do it what he says. And let me tell you something. If God tells you to do something, if he just tells you only to believe, what do you do? Just believe. You go out there and say, well, I got to get my plan B together and C together in case that don't come through. No, you're doing something extra than what he said. And we're going to find out next week, we're going to find out the issue with that, because God says he's judging your heart. He said he's going through, he says the word of God is talking about Christ. It's quick and powerful. It's right after this. It's right in the same passages in Hebrews chapter 4. He says he's going and he's looking into your heart, and he's knowing whether you're believing or you're not believing. He knows that what you're doing is because you're trying to work to make it happen, because some of us sneak and try to get stuff done. You know what I mean? We try to, I'm going to help God out a little bit. And God says, just do what I ask you to do. Just do what I ask you to do. Don't jump ship. Don't go moving this, going to do that. He said, if he tell you just to believe, I'm going to do this, just sit down, go to sleep, have a good time, and rest, what you do? We go home and we rest. I used to go, I'd go and watch a movie, shoot basketball, go to the gym, work out. And some people said, well, that doesn't make sense. You need to be doing something. I said, God didn't tell me to do nothing. If he doesn't tell me to do anything, I'm talking, if he don't give me instructions to do anything, I don't do it. Because I'm trusting what he said. He said, just believe. Just believe. Now, there'll be times when he'll tell us to do stuff. But then there'll be times, but it's nothing hard. And we do it because we love him. We do it because we... regardless, we're going to do what it says. Our life should be one that enjoys him. Our life should be one that says, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. If you ask me to get up this morning and pray, I'll get up and pray. If you ask me to do this, I'm going to do it. When we do those things, and that's how we live our lives, it doesn't matter. We just do what he says to do exactly, and he'll take care of the rest. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of Christian people don't believe that. But it's so true. I've faced tragedy. We've faced in our family, we've faced situations that could be tragic. But God will say one thing. And we had to stand on what he said. I remember one time I was working at a telecommunications company. Our company was downsizing. I got word from my boss. He said, our whole division is getting cut. You won't have a job soon. So you need to start looking on the outside. I got a phone call one day. I prayed to God, and God says, don't do nothing, just wait. Jack, you remember this, don't you? Company called me. I didn't put my resume out there. They called me and said, send your resume. We wanna hire you. We wanna interview you. I wanted to interview with them. They wanted to hire me. They paid me more money than what I was getting paid at my current job that was getting ready to go away, right? I'm sitting there, I go home and tell my wife, and she had a little problem with me. I looked, you know what, Jack? She had a little problem with me. I told her, I said, they offered this job, but I prayed about it, and God said, don't take it. Don't take it. And everybody was telling me, they just told you they're getting ready to give you a pink slip. You ain't gonna have a job, and they someone giving you a job and you won't take it. He says, what's your problem? I said, God didn't say take it, he told me let it go. And so I had to make a choice, because every opportunity is not God's opportunity. And I had to sit there and I knew what God had said. God said, don't take it. Just believe me. So when the people came back and asked me what my decision was, I told them I'm not going to take it. And they told me, we know your job is going away. But I knew what God had said. And don't you know, once I made that decision, I had a VP in my company. He said, he called me up one day. He said, Carson, I don't have a job in my department, but I'm going to make money. He put me over in this other part of the company that wasn't going to be affected. He didn't have a job over there. He put me in that part of the company. I still worked for this company, got paid, stayed with the company for 3 more years to the close down. And after I moved to that part of the company, I heard the company that I was getting ready to go to, they got sold. So they got cut anyway. God knew what was going on. A lot of times we can't trust our own understanding. We have to seek what God is saying. That's my point. We cannot do that. We have to say, God, what are you saying? It was scary, yes, because I was turning down an opportunity for what I was hearing God say. I was walking by faith and not by sight, and God blessed me. Amen. I left that company with $60,000. They gave me $60-something thousand leaving that company. I would have never got had I not listened to God. And everybody didn't get that. That was something just for certain people. My point is, We have to believe what the Holy Spirit says. Amen. Last point. I'm telling you, if you get this, you can retire early. God has a way of getting us there fast. We just need to believe when he speaks and not depend on our mind and our understanding. Point number four is this. We enter God's rest by hearing, believing, and obeying. Exactly. That was my last point, wasn't it? I want to read this last scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 from the NLT.
For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall.
We will fall. That's a promise, didn't he? He says if we disobey God because we don't believe, he didn't even tell us what the problem was. He says, if we disobey God, we will not enter into that rest and we will fall. One version says you will fail. And he makes it clear to us that all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labor. They do not toil no more. They're retired. Just as God did after, he makes it clear to us, very clear, because Genesis story says, after the sixth day, on the seventh day, God rested. He didn't do nothing else. He just enjoyed what he created. And he asked us to enjoy what he's already created. All we do is enjoy God. We just worship him. And we listen to what he tells us to do. It's simple, it's minor, and he'll bless us. He tells us to do our best to enter into that rest. In other words, our struggle is not going to be in doing. Our struggle is going to be in trying to deny our traditions, trying to deny what we see in front of us. Our struggle is going to be that struggle on the inside, our fears. Do I obey God? I hear God, but I'm not sure. I heard him, but if this is wrong, I'm going to fail. You know what I mean? And so we don't move. We don't do what God says to do. Maybe because we don't understand what happens next. Maybe because we don't see the plan, the whole plan, what God's going to do next and the next and the next. He just tells us at the end, he tells us at the end, I'm going to bless you, but he don't tell you what's going to happen in the middle. And we get afraid. I'm telling you, we get afraid. Our fears come from uncertainty. God is telling us, he says, we have to do our best to enter into this rest. We have to do our best to make sure we hear God. We have to make sure that we believe God. We have to do our best to make sure that once we hear that we do exactly what he says. Because when we do this, we enter into a life. No more struggle. No more toiling. No more trying to make it happen. No more trying to get a job. No more, man, I'm trying to make it. I'm just trying to pay a note. No more trying to pay a note in the house. I don't worry about what happens in the economy. I really don't. I really don't care. Personally. Because you know why? Psalms 91. I see it, but it ain't coming near my house. I see people falling off to the right and to the left. Ain't gonna touch me. Why? I've entered into something God is. I've entered into his rest. So when everybody else is going down, I'm still excelling. I'm still moving forward. I'm still going up. Economy's going down, I'm going up. I'm increasing, they're decreasing. Everybody's like, I don't know how to happen. And this is what it means when God says, all the nations of the earth are going to call you blessed. I was walking through the neighborhood just the other day. Now, we all know that a black man can have it hard in America because of the racial system. Just tell it like it is. The undertone, like everybody ain't, and not everybody are discriminatory, but a lot of people are. And we know there's stuff going on that's not right, and they don't treat everybody fairly. And depending on your color of your skin or your origin, where you're born or who you are, people will treat you differently. I'm not saying Christians shouldn't be treating us that way, but if they got that delivered from that racism and discrimination, they could have issues too. But one thing I found out, it doesn't matter who you are. If you enter into God's rest, can't nobody touch you. I live, we're minorities in our neighborhood. But I see other people that are economically majority are not going through the same thing that I go. I'm not going through the same thing they're going through. In fact, one of my neighbors, he came to me, he says, Carson, what are you doing, man? We out here busting our butts out here, man. You know, he didn't say butts, he said the A word. He said, we busting our butts out here, man. I'm just trying to hold on to my house. And I see you out here and your family look like they're doing well. What are you doing? You're not selling drugs or nothing, are you? See, I'll never do that. That's not what I do. That's how I believe God. You mean God? How could that be? I said, I believe what God said. He couldn't believe. But I prayed for him because he was getting ready to lose his house. And I prayed for him and he didn't lose his house. And I remember seeing him when I was on the other side of town in Duluth, and I was walking, I was waiting for my car to be done, so I was walking into Chick-fil-A, and he came in there, and he saw me, and he was talking to this one of his friends. See that guy right there? He believes God. He prayed for me, and my house didn't get taken from me. What I'm saying is that this. God says he will cause us to come into his rest. That we can be at peace. We can enjoy life. But it's only as we hear his voice. Hear his voice. Believe what he says. And obey any direction. We'll walk in his name. And you'll be amazed. You ain't got to worry about recession. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You'll always have more than enough. You'll always walk in peace. That's God's retirement plan. And that's for anybody who would do those things. Next week I'm going to finish it because he talks about something during the end. And we have to let God do some things in our lives. And that he will examine us and he'll know where we are. And he'll show us where we are. And we just got to do it, just believe him, confess your sins, and he's fine. He'll take care of me, he'll deal with him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all get something out of this? What'd you get, bro? Tyree, what'd you get? Huh? You can rest? How? I believe. Amen. Amen. You got somebody?
Yeah.
What do you get?
Believe in God.
Believe in God? Believe in God. Well, what else? Believe. Now I said more than believe in God, didn't I?
Believe in God and everything. Like,
did I say just believe in God, everything be good? I said you got to what? Hear? Believe?
And do exactly what you
want. Exactly. No, I don't want to hear no ditto stuff. Something I go, you know what? When God speaks, you sometimes just speak straight to your heart to you. Just something that you said. You got anything to say? Thank you, babe. Thank God. Ryan, what'd you get?
Got to hear what God says for us to be successful in our lives.
Amen.
I guess I got something out of a little bit more, maybe because I'm reading that book. I just got finished reading this morning about yielding to the Spirit. So it talked about a lot about basically relinquishing your will and to stop trying, like you were saying. And it gave a bunch of examples about guy who tried to stop smoking, tried to stop, another guy tried to stop doing something, but I guess we don't acknowledge that it's impossible for us to do those type of things, and the only way we can do it is through Christ.
Amen.
So
that's a good point. We try to stop, we're striving to accomplish this, and we can't. So until we recognize that we won't get there, then we'll, once we recognize that, then we depend on God and we yield to the Holy Spirit and then He'll take care of it. Amen. Amen. I asked those questions to you since we're kind of a small group, so I could ask those questions. And what happens, I think my wife said earlier, we learn from what other people learn. So when we hear that, we kind of like bounces and we kind of understand. Way speech to one, he's okay. I didn't get that point. That was good. I got that. Amen. We're going to go ahead and we're going to pray. Father God, we thank you and we honor you and we just bless you and we just, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us and that you would cause us to excel. You would cause us to be blessed. Lord, we thank you that you said you have a rest for us now, that we can enter in if we can hear your voice. We hear your voice, we believe you, and we do exactly what you tell us to do. And what you tell us to do is not hard, it's easy, it's light. But we have to believe and have the courage to just walk out those easy steps, knowing and believing that you're going to take care of it. We thank you, God, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.